This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the Carlton Podcast. Mitch Robbo Robison back from a self-imposed injury last week, was it?
I had a deadly toothache. My wisdom teeth coming through, so hopefully I'm a bit more smarter nowadays.
And can we give the real reason you weren't here? You were trying to get into the door in which we record the podcast, and Nigel Lappin got in the way.
You were unable
to open the door.
It's opposing, but it's not a free kick, so we just keep doing what we do. But I had a toothache, and I think I'll wait to the end of the year till I get them taken out. But they're actually
the way you play, Robbo, that's going to happen kind of quite naturally without the intervention of a dentist. Thank you to Michael Jamieson, who stepped into the breach.
Did a very good job.
And we will welcome Robbo. We've just been informed that we have a worldwide audience.
We do. I just got told by one of our producers that it's Maddie reaching
McClure.
New heights. No, not Maddie. It wasn't Maddie. It was one of the other. Luca, the old one.
She's the power behind the throne.
Yeah, the new, the beautiful one. Yeah. The old one's out. But we're reaching about like 8,000 views, and we're going international, like the UK, America, and everything. So I think it's a new program we're using, which I can tell exactly where the views are coming from and how they're going. So we are definitely top one in Australia, which is hats off to you guys.
Well, welcome aboard, and it's great to have your company, especially for the guests that we have today, Robbo. You cannot get more navy blue than this man.
You can't.
Who has contributed enormously to the club.
No, it's more history about than you, I reckon. And Tony DeBoffo put together.
Exactly. We have a look around this room. The wall drips with memorabilia and great memories and moments in the Carlton Football Club. And this man has been there to witness more than a few of them. Throughout his career, this man has worked for Footscray, Carlton and the Brisbane Bears. He has had two cousins who have played with the Blues, Luke O'Sullivan and Brendan O'Sullivan. He is cousin of the Rhino, the man who took 10 years to play 50 games, who we know and love. He is Shane O'Sullivan, football administrator.
Good on, Shano.
Thank you very much, guys.
Welcome, mate.
How are you, Shane?
Very well, Tony. Very well.
Now, it's not your first time to the podcast, is it?
No, it is my first time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll edit that out.
Where was I?
I could have sworn you were in. You visited us with Jammo in the first year, but we won't dwell on that.
Look, I know I'm losing my memory, but
that was bigger. Same grand.
No, sorry about that.
That's all right. Now, Shane, how do you think we're travelling at the moment? We'll discuss the Geelong game in a minute, but just your thoughts on season 2014 thus far.
Look, it's certainly, when you haven't got a lot of the wins on the board, it certainly doesn't look good, but without making a lot of excuses, when you have Juddy and Cruz and Andy Carrazzo and Dockers when he started, we've just haven't had a lot of luck go our way, I think. But I think the great thing is every Monday the way Mick gets everyone up, thinking we're back on track and ready to go again. And some of the games that we've lost have been pretty tight, so it's not as if we're sort of getting thumped around the park. So there's a lot of positives about it. Menzel's, sort of shows that he's going to be okay. And Sam Doherty and, Everett's been fantastic. And I think, slowly you can see that Daisy's starting to, get healthy and well again. Yeah. And he's really showing his value.
Now, Robbo, what is your interaction with Shane? Can you just tell us from a player's point of view what a football administrator does? What interaction do you have with the great Shane O'Sullivan?
Shane's a bit of an unsung hero, I reckon. He's like a father figure over here in Melbourne. Obviously, when we're pretty young, when we came over, and he takes us under the wing, and he's always there when we're doing clinics or going into state, or if we went over to Arizona, he would have it all booked out, ready to go. So he's pretty amazing, his job, and that's why he's been in the Cape for so long. But yeah, he's top notch, and he might send a few texts out to do a couple extras, but It's always in best interest.
How is Rhino going? Just quickly. No,
he's going well. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he's a different man. I think, for example, they had a birthday party for Greg Williams down at Barwon Heads, and Luke's never been one to just do everything, drive down, and he had to catch the train down and then a bus out to. And then by the time he got there, it was nearly all over. So
is this an older Edward Curnow we're talking about?
No.
Rhino was...
No, he would have ridden down, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have ridden. Exactly right.
He would have timed it with Butters.
And then caught a wave somewhere and then jumped somewhere else. But he just can't be the norm, Rhino. He's always got to be doing something a bit different to everyone else.
And how's the knee post-football? Is it okay these days, or does it give him much trouble?
No, he seems to be good. He gets around. I mean, he certainly made a bit out of that at Waverley and got things changed a bit.
Good.
But no, he's good. I mean, gosh, when you're 1 of 12, you've just got to keep riding along, don't you?
Yeah.
When a big family like he's in.
Oh, good work. Well, please pass on our best, great club man, Rhino or Uncle or however you want to know him.
Yeah.
Great man. Now, speaking of great men, Mick Malthouse, 700 games. How far back do you go with Mick Malthouse, Shane?
Oh, right back to the very start. I was just talking to Mick today, just reminiscing, when I was the GM at Footscray, we're looking, to make a change in the coaching ranks. And I was lucky enough to train at Richmond in, I think, 1978-79.
Big years for the Tigers.
Yeah. And the two people that stuck out in my mind was Mick Malthouse and Neil Baum. They were just fantastic to the guys that actually were on the outer or trying to get in and that. And it's funny how just things stay in your mind. And I never thought I'd be in football or an administrator at all. But then lucky enough to get to Carlton here in 79. And then when I went across to Footscray, we needed to make a few changes, look for a coach. And I went and saw the great Alan Swab, who was just an amazing administrator, the all-time great, I think. And I said, look, I want to bounce something off you and mention Mick's name. He said I'd go and get him tomorrow. So I can remember Mick used to work at the Motor Accident Board in the city.
Yep.
And
busy job.
Yeah. And I used to sneak in there, and in those days, in those big buildings, and not like computers now, and that you have those big sliding filing cabinets.
Yeah.
And we'd slide a few across and get around the back so no one could see us having a chat. And that's sort of where it all started. And, lucky enough, we were able to get him in 1984, and away he's gone. So, it's incredible. 700. I'm sure when he started, he and Nanette wouldn't have thought he'd still be coaching at this stage. But, I'm sure Mitchie would agree, he might be 60 or whatever he is. He really, the way he gets around and his fitness and his health, and, he's sort of only in his, early 50s, I reckon, the way he sort of goes. So still trying to learn, still trying to, work out different ways to the game to be played and things like that. So he certainly, got the fire in the belly still.
It's great from a supporter's view, Robbo, when you look, when there's a dodgy free kick, and let's be honest, Carlton have had a few of them, been on the receiving end of them over the last couple of weeks, you cut to Mick and it still hurts. That's what I love seeing in the coach. He still bleeds for that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, he feels for the boys, out there that are, busting everything to sort of get the footy and do the right thing when a few things go against you. He's certainly quite emotional and vocal about it.
Now, Robbo, how's the week been in the lead-up to the 700th? Does it, is it business as usual for you guys?
Yeah, Mick's had a couple of milestones this year, and I think he tries to keep the focus back on the boys and the game. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We aren't in a great position on the ladder, but, we've been in a few games, and it's a massive test for us this week. We got Hawthorn, who's, second on the ladder, and they've been playing very, very good footy. But just as like last week, we didn't go in thinking they're better than us. Mick says it so every week, we're a chance to win, so we take that confidence in the game, and we do believe in our structures and stuff. And if they hold up, then we should be coming out with the 4 points, hopefully.
Just going to touch on the Geelong game in a second, but I'll give you the Mick Malthouse stats.
Here we go.
He's the second man in the VFL AFL to reach 700 games. His tally includes 135 games with Footscray, 243 games with West Coast, a couple of grand finals in there, if you don't mind. 286 games with Collingwood, a couple of grand finals in there. Was it one that he coached them to?
They won one, but he coached them, I think, four grand, two in a row that, really they. I think the first one, 202 or somewhere around there, they weren't the second or the best team to be in there, but, just amazing team effort. And then really just an amazing kick by Akamanis cost them the game. So, they nearly pulled one off there. So, yeah, he certainly knows how to get teams into grand finals.
Do you get two grand finals for a rematch?
Give him double.
I'll be claiming that.
Yeah.
And he's coached 35 games with Carlton, including the game last week against Geelong. Well done to Geelong for getting up. It was a torrid game. Robbo, in the washout of it, you featured him, and I mentioned Lappin before. Can you tell us what was going on at that particular moment?
Yeah, obviously we're kind of disappointed with the way the game turned out, but we had our chances. We were 16 points up in the last quarter, and just like Brisbane, we kind of let it slip away, and some decisions went our way, some didn't. So you can't really dwell on that, but there was a couple couple of contested situations in the forward pocket there where we had our probably last chance at it with Menzel, you know, got tackled high, you know, it wasn't a free kick, so we'll play on that. And, you know, I think they came out and said, you know, the Lappin incident wasn't a free kick, so I guess we can't do much about that. But just going forward, it'd be good to know, you know, what the rules are. So if we want to put our runners in the stoppages, we can get probably a couple extra blocks in there.
Yeah, okay.
Could be a new tactic. I've got to tell Mick now. I'll get a new job next year.
Yeah. How do you rate your game, Robbo,
Geelong? Against Geelong wasn't too bad. I was playing mainly a forward role. Then, you know, I got the call up from up in the box saying, Robbo, you're going to go on the midfield for the second half, which is... You know, my eyes lit up there. So I went in the midfield, had a few touches, a couple clearances, and it felt good to be back again with the boys. But as I said, yeah, we had our chance in the last quarter to put the game away, and yeah, it just didn't happen.
Your disposal is a lot sharper these days and a lot cleaner.
Glad you've seen that. Yeah, it's my disposal efficiency is above 70 now. So
What do you put that down to? Is that sleeping chances letting you sleep? Is it you? What's the story?
That's our assistant coach, Rob Wiley. He's been on me pretty much from the start of the year saying, you know, no torpedoes, more drop punts. And I think it's just coming with mature as we're on the game. Came out to nearly 100 games, so I kind of see myself as being a mature player, and I just want to take a little bit more time than when I thought I used to have. I was always bullet gate and just kicking the ball and clearing it, but there's a time and space when you get sometimes that you don't notice you have, but you just... Take a couple more seconds.
Two-headed question for you, Shane O'Sullivan.
What was that?
It's a two-headed question.
Tasmanian joke, is it?
He's on to you.
Can you just sketch Robbo's progress at the Camp Football Club? That's the first part of the question. Because you would have, you know, followed his progress quite closely. Second, who does he remind you of? What great player of the past in Carlton does Robbo's playing style and demeanour remind you of?
Well, I think when Robbo first started, you know, his impact was amazing, and at contests and the way he hit onto the ball was incredible. And I hope I say this the right way, but I think when the way the rules changed a bit, you know, you can't hit underneath the legs. Mm. Not that he was doing that, but he just sees ball, go and get ball. And I think it took him, you know, a little while to perhaps, you know, half a season to get used to that. You just can't, you know, he's been doing it since he's a little boy, seeing the ball and went and got it, and which is what Mick wanted and all that. But, you know, these days if you hit their legs and go over, my God, you know, it's all so different. So I think it took him a little while to, but, you know, now he's, got hold of it and understands what's going on and coping a lot better. And I think probably it's a bit harder in some ways because he's not in the middle all the time, but he's actually got a role, you know, as another marking forward at times to give us, you know, because you know he's going to give you a great contest. And I forget which game it was, but he certainly, I was sitting in the box and just looked to my left, and he certainly gave us a good shot when he sat on top of the shoulders there for
on goal sack. Against Collingwood, yeah.
It was an absolute ripper. I was sort of jumped up myself.
It was awesome.
Who he reminds me of what? Might be a bit of a weird one, but with his courage and all that, there's a lot of Kenny Hunter.
Oh, wow.
My mentor, Kenny Hunter.
Yes.
He just, where it doesn't matter, you know, what direction he's going, Robbo sort of sees the ball and he just goes for it. So, Kenny Hunter, to me, is one of the greatest players we've ever had play here.
Absolutely.
And, I had the privilege of watching him for a long time and, every Saturday you knew there was going to be situations where he'd be running with the flight of the ball and they'd all be coming, but you know, he was oblivious to all that. And even in a grand final, like, he got knocked out early, and of course Parko's yelling and screaming getting back on the ground, and gosh, in these days with a concussion rule he'd never play again, you know, for that day. But we're to say, Kenny, you're on, you know, Morris Rioli number, you know, 12 or whatever, I just forget Morris's number for a minute, but you know, we had to really go through, and poor old Kenny can't remember the grand final.
It was almost like the runners had to physically take him out to stand Rioli.
Yeah, but once he was out there, you know, instincts kick in, of course. But, I reckon there's a lot of Kenny the way Mitchie plays.
Now, that's extremely high praise,
Robbo. Should come see Shane more often. I'm still kind of...
Now, Kenny Hunter was a great of a previous era, of not too distant past. A giant of the club was Anthony Koutafidis, and who you would know quite well personally, I would imagine. Yep. I guess in the last 10 to 15 years, as a supporter, Robbo, the just a giant of a player. His impact at Carlton was enormous, and he was a phenomenal player. He's a great competitor, and he was a gentleman as well.
Absolutely.
He's a great man, Kuta. So we say congratulations for his induction into the AFL Hall of Fame. 278-game career was complemented by glorious individual and collective achievements, most notably the Carlton captaincy, two club BNFs, Players Association Most Valuable Player Award, and of course the 1995 Grand Final triumph. The moment, of course, I remember from that when somebody went near Ange Christou and it sparked a melee. You don't do that. You don't go near Ange.
No,
it's his BF, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, gosh, you know, so many flashbacks with Kuta, like you know, that day here against West Coast.
Yeah.
Like, got to be careful. Mick was coaching that day, but I mean, he took 18 marks. Like,
yeah.
You think, you know, they didn't really make many changes, but he was just unbelievable. And I'll never forget in 1999 when we beat the Bombers. Unfortunately, probably, you know, that was our grand final, unfortunately, yeah. In one way. But gosh, his game that day was just incredible.
You mean in 99?
Yeah,
yeah.
The Plym final,
yeah.
Against Essendon.
Yeah.
You know, we probably, that was our grand final,
yeah.
Day that day. But
yeah.
Kuta was just absolutely amazing, you know, that particular day. So, you know, there's so many games. And just seeing him pick the ball up one-handed and, you know, I mean, so many young kids used to sort of, you know, try to emulate him, you know, when you go out and watch games and that sort of stuff. He was incredible.
He used to pluck it like a mushroom. It was astonishing. Speed, mobility.
Or a kebab.
Just, yeah, his ability to crash a pack and just a magnificent man. You
An absolute gentleman. You know,
he's a good bloke too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Off the ground and, you know, he probably could have been a bit, you know, more aggressive in some ways, but he just was a really nice person. So, you know, but yeah, amazing player. He and Ange, you know, in those younger days, it was pretty exciting footy, you know, seeing those two young guys come through together. And you know, Ange actually rang today for a favour, and it was good that, you know, they're still sort of pretty close, you know, even at this stage of their life.
Thank God Kuta's knee held out for Dancing with the Stars, which he won, didn't he? Was he? I'm pretty sure he did win it.
I think he got his shirt off a few times, might have swayed the female audience, but no, he's still looking good. Like, if I'm that good at, what, 35 now?
Yeah,
he's
40?
Yeah, he'd be nearly 40, wouldn't he?
Mate,
he'd have to be, but he's always been in great nick, the Kuta.
He's a beast.
And we love that he's a one-club player too.
Yep.
So hearty congratulations to Kuta, great servant of the Carlton Football Club. Now, as football administrator, Shane O'Sullivan, can you just give us some ideas to you mentioned being in the box, your day-to-day duties around the club.
Yep.
And then I want to pick your brain about the umpiring, which has been in the news. We're just going to touch on it. It's an unusual admission from the director of umpiring, Wayne Campbell. But firstly, if you could just tell us, say, your week at the Carlton, at the club, what it entails.
Well, you know, I'm really lucky that I've got a job that I love doing and you love coming to work every day. You know, Mac is always on to us that we're all got to take holidays, but I said it's nice coming to work. So, but, you know, especially when you're around the players, they make you feel young and you know, really want to sort of enjoy everything. Look, I'm sort of, most of my sort of weeks really involved with the coaches and Mick and these guys, making sure that whatever they need to be done gets done, or follow up, or, you know, I'm in match committee, you know, all the time when they have meetings. I suppose, you know, run match days, you know, as well. And when we go into state, I drive these blokes mad with a lot of text messages of what's going on. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not the greatest speller, so I leave a few things off. But, and, you know, whatever Mac, you know, sort of help Macca out with certain things. But, look, it's a really... I've got to say, it's a really you know, enjoyable place to work, you know, with Macca and Sam Powers come on board and all the coaches, and, you know, we've got a really, you know, great group of young recruiters that are coming through. So, yeah, I mean, you walk in and everyone's got a good smile on their face, and, yeah, I mean, you can't plan a day in footy because you just never know what is going to come up or what, you know, problems are going around or whatever, but... Yeah, 99% of the time, it's a really enjoyable place to work, and the hype of match day is, you just can't explain how good it is. You know, the highs and lows are hard, but by gee, the highs are unbelievable. And I've been lucky enough to be around here when they've won flags and been involved. So that's the thing that you want, you know, Mitchie and these boys to sort of experience. And you know, I'm confident, you know, in the next, you know, 12 months, that'll turn around and we'll be giving it a really good shake.
Do you ever have players coming into you, they're in tears, they can't quite cope with the fact that it's just been announced that they're going to share a house with Mitch Robinson? is that where
80%...
He's popping up. Is that where 80% of your kind of work goes?
There's only a few meetings that happen, mate. Only a few.
Well, they're the things that I say. You have your day planned and that mucks you up, see? No, look, I mean, yeah.
It's all good now. I've got a wonderful partner, so I don't need the boys. Yeah. I don't need them. Yeah. I've seen too much during the day. I'm always busy at night time.
No, they're good.
Hawthorn, Robbo. Who do we need to neutralise? They're unfortunately, Alistair Clarkson is not. Were you at the Battle of Britain out of interest, Shane?
No, I wasn't. I was at Footscray then.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, I saw it on telly, though.
Yeah.
Clarko holds a special thing here too with a lot of people at Carlton.
They're missing a few key players, more than a few, about four of their key players, but they've been tested recently. GWS, they only just got past them, but they're still a really lethal team, Robbo. So how are we going to beat them? And we have really struggled to beat Hawthorn over the last, what?
6 years.
It seems like the last decade.
Well, I think the last time we beat Hawthorn, Cooter played.
There you go.
That was in a NAB Cup challenge over at Launceston.
Yeah.
And I can remember, Buddy was just sort of starting off and everyone wanted Cooter's autograph and, no one sort of knew much about Buddy then. But I think Dennis was coaching. It was the last time I think we've beaten Hawthorn at all.
No.
No?
Our, my first year we beat them in a NAB Cup.
Oh, did we?
Yep.
Oh,
I kicked my first goal in NAB Cup.
Oh,
I've
nice
got
work.
I've got a picture on my wall, but yeah.
Yeah. But we do struggle against Hawthorn. They're a very good team.
Look, they're a great team. It doesn't matter who's out or who's in because they've always got great depth. They're a bit like Geelong in that sense. They've got players that can step into roles, and it doesn't really matter who they've got in the park. They're going to have a good good team plan. But we know the players we have to stop. As it says here, you've got Jordan Lewis, Birchall.
He's
got a few blokes that can run with the ball, run and carry. But we've got some plans in place which can hopefully slow them down on the MCG and get the ball into our hands. So. Yeah, look, it's going to be a big game. We think, if we beat them in the stoppages, because that's what they do so well, they're, probably the number one scoring from stoppages. So if we can nullify them there, I think we can have a pretty good chance of getting the win.
And who's going to take Roughhead? Will that be Sammy Rowe or co-host of the podcast?
Yeah.
Sometime co-host of the podcast,
Michael. Well, the thing about Ruffy is he can play up as a midfielder, so he can get up and back in the ground, so... If he comes in the midfield, I'm sure one of the boys will pick him up and try their best. But, as you said, he can play anywhere. But I'm thinking Jamo or Rowe up forward.
Yeah, well, how do you rate Sam Rowe's journey this year, Shane?
Oh, look, I think he's been a bit of a revelation, really.
Yeah.
Like, he's done some fantastic jobs. And, he had a rough start last week, but he ended up, I thought he was terrific, in the second half. So, Sammy's, a lot of respect from all the boys and... You just know he's going to give his, I know they all give their 100%, but Rowie certainly shows that he's given it all his best and, just the way he trains and he's gone about it, everything's fantastic. So he's added a lot to us, I reckon.
Rowie's on the path of writing a bestseller, I reckon, the way he's going.
What, just do you think it's such a fairy tale?
Mate, it could be.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Rowie.
Chuck a premiership in there and I reckon we'll be on his way.
Yeah.
I might be a bit of a...
Is he getting a big head?
No, Rowie's one of the most placid blokes you'll meet. He's very, very modest and he's a good bloke. But we had him on the podcast this year. His business is flying, mate. He's doing his chippy work. So S&S Construction. So if you're ever looking for some decks being made, look him up.
And if you want to wear workwear, you might try the new range of workwear from Mitch Robinson Clothing. Are you thinking about that?
No, I did a little thing for a hard yakka company, I think.
Yeah.
Did a bit of modelling there, so.
A bit of freebies. Yeah, done a bit of modelling. Nice. It would be great just to beat Hawthorn.
Oh,
that sentence stands alone. It doesn't need any clarification.
No.
It just would be.
We came close last year, so we'll try and put...
Well, it was only 13 points or so, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was it was a good game all the way through. They figured out a game plan after half time, and they kind of shut down our switches and stuff. But, we're looking pretty excited for this Friday night, and it's what a bigger stage to do it on.
Yeah,
our home game?
Our home game.
So hopefully everyone can get down there and support us. So.
And also, it'd be a great start for the 150-year celebration on the Saturday night. Just... Be fantastic, get everyone in the right frame of mind.
Big weekend, I reckon.
Yeah. Definitely, that would be the perfect way to kick it off. And like I say, beating Hawthorn any time, any place is always an awesome thing to do.
Yep.
What I will get you to do now is to play something we do on the podcast. How well do you know your teammates Mitch Robinson and Shane O'Sullivan? Not exactly a teammate of yours, Shane, but look, a protege or a fellow employee of the Carlton Football Club.
I've got no chance at this
Robbo, you're coming off some seriously poor form.
I was three in a row, then I lost two, so yeah, what can I do? I got beaten by Jeffy. It's kind of like, yeah, losing.
This is your chance, all right, to dig yourself out of your hole, to turn the slump around.
If I beat Shano, that's worth about five wins, I reckon. So,
well, okay.
We should have cheated on this one, but
okay. Are we ready? You ready, Shane? Yep. I made my debut for the Blues during our round one clash against Melbourne in 2006. Okay. In 2007, I was elevated to the 8-man leadership group for the entire season.
Crazo?
Bryce Gibbs.
Bruski's in debut in 2007.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Am I right or wrong? Already,
no, the answer is no. Robbo, I'm going to let you back in.
Okay, something like Carrazzo. Did you say Gibber? Is it Gibber or not?
It's not Gibber.
No. Okay.
During round 21 in 2010, I joined my father and my grandfather in playing my...
Jared Waite.
No, not Jared Waite. As a result, the three of us became the first and so far only father-son, grandson combination in league history to each play 100
Murphy.
Games. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well done. The clue you would have gotten
the hard name
was, the number I don on the back of my Guernsey was also worn by former Carlton great and current AFL commissioner Mike Fitzpatrick.
So you would have got that?
You would have got that.
I think Shannon knew the whole time. He's just going, he didn't say anything.
No. that is what makes him such a great football administrator. Shane, great to have you in on the podcast. Thank you for all your hard work here at Carlton Football Club. I'm not about to give you the arse. I'm just saying that on behalf of everybody who listens.
We have that kind
Don't
of power
come
up
tomorrow.
Here.
Yeah,
we have
yeah.
that kind of power. Let's
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, let's be honest.
No, thanks, Tim.
Enjoy Saturday night.
Yeah, no, really looking forward to it. And can't wait to see a lot of the past players and just even the people there just to enjoy the night. And I'm sure some of the clips will be just amazing on the screen, you know, for the history that this club's got. So it'll be, you know, be a great night. And especially, I think it'd be great for, you know, the new boys to sort of, you know, see a lot of that history. And we've probably got to do a little bit better and, you know, get the players to understand, you know, what's gone, you know, before them sort of thing. So that'll be great.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shane O'Sullivan. Coming in, say good day to Rhino for us. Robbo, good luck against Hawthorn.
Thanks, mate.
Would love you to see you walk away with the 4 points, but that is stating the obvious, something we don't do here on the Carlton podcast.
No, thanks, it's not our style. It's been a great one. Shane O'Sullivan, everyone.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone listening, wherever you may be around this great globe of ours. It is a great globe. Just remember that. Always be kind to the planet and keep listening to the Carlton Podcast with me, Tony Moclair, and Mitch Robinson.